Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon or good evening, depending on where you are in the country. This is Alana Kay with the Violet Phoenix. Some of you may know me as the Soul Sherpa. I know a lot of times people listen to the different shows, and welcome to our first show on the Violet Phoenix, and we're talking about ascension today. And I first want to give a quick little description of ascension, and then I'm going to introduce you to my special guest today, who's another author. Because there seems to be a lot of confusion about ascension, but this is a time when people need to ascend because Earth has ascended, and you'll understand it a little bit better when I read this description to you. Ascension is not intended to be a mystery. To ascend is to raise your vibration. Depending on the individual, it may happen gradually, suddenly, or intermittently. Earth has ascended to a higher state in the past few decades, causing discomfort for humanity. The heightened state of our planet is heaven on Earth, which is love. This energy is amplifying everything, causing polarization of perception and experience. Ascension involves the raising and harmonizing of all of our bodies, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. When we become the embodiment of love, we are fully ascended and life becomes a blissful experience. Conversely, resistance to love makes us feel pain, anxiety, and frustration. And this might explain why a lot of people have been feeling those things. Well, before I get on with the show, we're going to have a discussion about ascension. I want to introduce you to author Peggy Sue Honeyman Scott. She has written the book Essential Intuition, and it's a really good, concise book that gives you some lessons on exercising your intuitive skills. And I'm just going to hand it over to Peggy Sue for a moment. Peggy Sue, you want to say hello and tell everybody a little bit about your book?
Yes. Hi there. Thank you for having me as a guest. Very, very grateful. I think this is important to get these messages out there right now, especially right now. And The book that I wrote took many years. It was started from a teacher that I had many, many years ago, over 25 years ago. And I learned these, well, that I was very intuitive, but how to sort of funnel it and make it, you know, stronger. It's like strengthening a muscle. And so in the book, I give 7 steps, and it's, they're exercises. There's something to, it's like a little habit that you get into, like brushing your teeth. You just do the exercises in the morning or night, and all of a sudden you'll start to know. You know what you know. And, you know, if there's a time when we need to know what we know, it's now, because we really are being flooded with so much garbage and truth, and to discern the truth, we really need to have our intuition finely tuned. And so, and I have classes online that I teach that are always ongoing, so that you know, if you need help with it, it sometimes takes a little kickstart, a little support, and you know, so I love doing that. And the people that I've had on the class so far are actually becoming quite psychic. They're really just amazing because they're using the tools. So I just, it was sort of my gift to the world. I really want to help people, tune into what's going on, because, you know, it's a lot.
You know, yeah, that's a really good point. When you first started talking, I thought, yeah, you know, what does this have to do with ascension? We'll get into all of this. But as far as the polarization and the anxiety and everything that people are feeling, developing your ability to tune into your higher self where you can and working on your intuition would really alleviate a lot of the stress in the coming years. There's no way of knowing how long everything's going to take to iron itself out. And definitely I would think that the number one key to comfort during this time period is to learn to trust your intuition, because most of our problems are because we're having trouble discerning the truth, right? You know, you mentioned that. So
yeah,
and I wrote a book that's a little bit different, but I wrote it when this all started to happen, and it's called Intuitive Development. And all of our books are available on Amazon and all the other ebook outlets. And I actually have several soft covers. And if you look at the description below the show, you'll see our contact information. And the website for Violet Phoenix Publishing has all the books on there. And a lot of times when you go to Amazon, you have to put the name, the author, and the name of the book in order to get it to pull up what you're looking for. So anyway, back to the subject of ascension. I mentioned that it's the raising and harmonizing of all the bodies. And what I noticed as a metaphysical intuitive is that the main reason people feel anxiety is because they have too many things that are disharmonious trying to occupy the same space. So if you are, so if your soul is giving you one message, but then your body is giving another message, it's going to feel like you're living in this personal earthquake zone. So that's the discomfort is where you find out what it is you need to work on. And it's all about raising the vibration. So, you know, a lot of the spiritual teachings of the last few decades have given us the mental attributes. But we also need to heal our emotional bodies and bring it. So when we're carrying baggage in our emotional bodies from the experiences we've had in our life, and we also have a lot of programming, mental programming. So the spiritual teachings help us with the mental programming. And then clearing of the emotional body allows the spiritual body instead to reside in our physical body instead of all of our past patterning. And that's where the anxiety or the shutdown, the complete fatigue and blockage comes from, having all of our past baggage. So that's why I said the discomfort you feel in any area is always going to be your indicator of what you might need to work on. So did you have anything that you wanted to add to that, Peggy Sue?
I have a lot of questions as far as, you know, what do people, like, if I'm a listener, I would want to know, well, what does that look like? What does that feel like? How do I do it? You know,
Okay, good questions. What I did notice when in about 1994, I was 34 years old and I was so exhausted I could barely move. I could barely get out of bed. I thought I had chronic fatigue syndrome. And I was a very successful business owner at the time, and I know a lot of other people like this. And I had a headache that was just chronic and some bad things had happened, and I just collapsed on the couch one Saturday morning, and I said, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And at the end of the sentence, my headache went away, and all of a sudden I started to feel a rush of energy. And what I found out through my process, that was the beginning of a process for me, and it was very fast, and it was amazing. But what I found out is that you just have to be ready for it, and you have to want it, and your soul will actually guide you through the process. Because your soul,
so the willingness. You know,
yeah, it's just the intent, the willingness is all you need to do. And your soul will take over from there. And it's a gradual process day by day where you get to know more about your soul and you get to know more about what you've picked up. And then I was going to say, well, there's lots of different ways to figure out how to fix what you've picked up that's not working well with your soul purpose or your soul identity.
And what would that be? How do you fix that?
Well, it can be a couple different ways. You know, a lot of people go to like an energy practitioner or a Reiki practitioner or an intuitive. Mm-hmm. And you can do that if you can find people that you can trust. And it's the same thing as with doctors and chiropractors and dents. Everybody has their own, likes and dislikes about people and the way they handle themselves. So you can either seek a practitioner to help you. But I also found out that when there isn't money or it's late at night, what you can do is, what I do is I say higher self or I say Christ or, you know, we want to go to the highest sources possible. I'll talk about spirit guides later. We should probably talk about that. But right now I just want to kind of skip through it a little bit and say, how do I deal with this issue? And as soon as you start to ask, and I think Peggy Sue, you, I think you might talk about this a little bit in your book, where you ask,
mm-hmm.
and if you ask,
yes,
you'll get the answer. it's like when we're trying to push through stuff, we're too much mental and we're too much in our patterning. But when we're asking, we're creating that opening and that opportunity to be a receiver of the answer. And sometimes I'll get it, as I've gotten better at this, I can get it like right away or that evening. But sometimes it might take until you wake up the next morning, or somebody might just cross your path who has the answer. I've heard a lot of people say that, and I've had that happen to
mm-hmm.
me. So it's the asking. If you don't know, whatever's giving you the most grief, if it's not really obvious, just look at what's giving you the most grief. It can be fears. It can be remembrances of the past. It could be body, you know, physical issues, anything like that. You know, if you ask, then you'll get an answer. But
yeah,
everything
and I can
about
expound
the universe
on that
wants you to get
a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. The universe has your back. The questions, this took me years to learn this, but when I finally did, it blew my mind, and it really started changing things rapidly, is when you ask a question. So one of my teachers, John DeMartini, used to say, the quality of life will depend on the quality of the questions you ask. And I just didn't get what he was saying. He must have said it a million times, and I just didn't. I was like, okay. And then finally, another teacher of mine said, showed me that if you ask, that a question is basically an energy. And if you take, I actually went and looked up quest and I looked up ion, and it actually means to seek action. So you're seeking an action by asking a quest ion. And that just like really just kind of blew my mind, because if you come to a conclusion about something, life sucks, my back hurts, I don't have any money, right? It's drawing a conclusion, and the universe just goes clunk, and it's like this big door shutting, and it can't help you because the willingness isn't there, right? And if you
right?
ask a question like, how do I change this? What if? What's next? I mean, they don't have to be big questions. They can just be like, you know, what can I do? Or you can get really creative with your questions, which is kind of fun. I started just writing questions, because I wanted to see what it would feel like for the energy to change. And boy, did it. It just started really changing. Now, when you ask a question, it's not like you're going to get you're asking a person and you're demanding an answer immediately. The universe has its own time schedule. Sometimes you'll get an immediate answer. Sometimes it might take a day. Sometimes you might run into somebody who gives you information. Sometimes it might take a year. I've had one question that I asked again and again and again, but I wasn't really open and ready for the change. And when I combined the willingness with the questions, I got everything I was asking for. So questions are key to change.
Right. What you said is sometimes we're not ready to hear the answer, so we don't hear it. If you follow the Abraham Hicks teaching, she says there's really nothing but solutions. There's not problems. It's just that we start to create a problem, and then we create that energy around the situation. So I actually I just had that recently. I've done it with a few things that seemed like impossible situations, and that one thing I will do is I'll. Speaking of reprogramming your mental body so that it doesn't get in the way, let me backtrack a little bit. The thing about ascension is, and everything being in harmony, is that everything about you is electromagnetic. This is a metaphysical electromagnetic universe. So everything about you is sending out signals constantly. So you got to think about, well, you know, my soul is sending out a signal that we need a new place to live. But then the lower self is saying, I feel so secure in this place and I want to stay here. Then you got conflicting signals. And you can just imagine all the conflicting signals that you're sending out in any given moment. So what I learned to do was, especially the older you get, as you're an adult, you start to problems happen. You know, problems would just pop up. So then when you're about to do something, your mind start. My mind does this. I know other people's does too. But I'll talk about myself. It'll start thinking about the possible things that could go wrong with a situation. And so what I started doing,
that's
especially
always fun.
Because there were some difficult situations, I heard somebody call it once awfulizing. you think
call
about all
what?
The awful things that could happen. Awfulizing, A-W-F-U-L,
oh, yeah.
Awfulizing.
My daughter calls it future tripping.
And then we really
good,
believe
it,
you know,
oh,
because
yeah.
it's all the
oh,
stuff we've picked up.
My daughter's all trippy.
Oh, hang on. Sorry.
Oh.
Echo. Echo. Yeah, we have an echo. So, so what I started to do with my brain as I embarked on whatever project it was, is I would tell my brain, everything's perfect, everything's perfect, everything's perfect. And then my soul was able to zoom through it. So as I've been able to get through it, then as you start to go through things more smoothly, then your brain starts to pick up a whole new way of looking at things. So that's what I mean by the reprogramming of the mental. So you have to re-experience a lot of things in a different way than you have in the past in order to reprogram the mental. So you got your mental, you got your physical. Now, you know, physical problems really can get in the way. And both you and I, Peggy Sue and I, have had a couple of things happen in the last couple of weeks. And it really gets in the way of things you're trying to do or your relaxation or your enjoyment of life. And I've learned to ask about that, too. What does this represent for me? You know, why am I feeling this? And, you know, sometimes I haven't been able to determine what it was, and you just have to ride it out. But a lot of times sicknesses or pain end up teaching us something. And I remember years ago when I used to get pneumonia, I would just start saying, and I couldn't breathe, I'd start saying to myself, you know, you don't want to live, or you feel like you're on the death's doorstep when you have pneumonia. I'd start going, I love myself, I love my life, I love myself, I love my life. And I noticed that the energy in my breathing center would start to really relax, because that's such a trap you're in when you can't breathe. And it keeps shutting down more and more and more as you stress, because it's a feeling. And I feel sorry for people that have asthma. Boy, this is a pertinent subject right now with COVID-19. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you get in this circle, and the only way I could get out of it would be to just say positive mantras, even though there was nothing to feel positive about at all. But yeah,
you know, anything. And I would say, you know, have fun with it and experiment, because you don't want to get in that trap, a vicious cycle. That's an uncomfortable, that creates a lot of anxiety in people, is the trap that you're in, going round and round. Instead, if you break mm-hmm. out and just say, okay, what can I do about this now? What else is possible? What can I do to change this now? And just keep asking questions. I've done this one time when I was a bit hungover. I have to say, I had a couple of beers one night, and I had to go to a spa, to my girlfriend's birthday spa day. And I got in my car. I thought, okay, I can do this. You know, I'm good. And I was driving. I thought, oh, I'm going to be so sick. I couldn't even get on the highway, so I had to get off the highway. And I just sat and I went in the back seat and just curled up in a ball and just said, what can I do to change this? You know, I just mm-hmm. just asked a million questions. And in about 5 minutes, I sat up and I went, I'm totally fine. I feel absolutely fine. I went to the spa. I had a great day. It was a perfect day to go to a spa because I got to release all the toxins out of my body. My body doesn't really like alcohol. And mm-hmm. It was amazing. It was just this miraculous thing that happened. So I would, you know, suggest it's free. It doesn't mm-hmm. hurt. It doesn't cost, you know, it's just like, it's a kind of a no-brainer. It's just like, well, let's just play with this and see what happens and see your own miracles mm-hmm. happen, because they do. Mm-hmm. Where they do. I have tried and tested it, and I couldn't speak about something that I didn't know about, and I know about this to be true.
Yeah.
I've had too many experiments.
A miracle is a shift in consciousness. People pray for miracles, but a miracle is a shift in consciousness. And we're going to get back to explaining how the ascension process works, or can work, or may work, but since we're talking about a shift in consciousness, that's the thing, is that part of what we're dealing with right now is that the planet is splitting out people who are physically, mentally focused and people who are heart focused. And when you're heart focused, you're more intuitive, and when you're aligned with spirit, true spirit, you know, the higher spirit source and your soul, the answers are different. So that's why there's a shift, and that's what a miracle is, according to A Course in Miracles. It's just a shift in consciousness. And consciousness is the biggest feature of being ascended. So essentially, the harder bodies, the denser bodies, such as the mental and the physical, then second to that would be the emotional, they all need to soften up and become love and become more flexible, essentially, so that they're a receiver for the spirit. Because when the spirit is guiding everything and it's creating all the perceptions, it's an entirely different experience. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does make sense. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, uh-huh. It's a different experience.
It does make sense.
But that's why we have to soften and remove. We're born innocent. But then the world, I got to mention a story. I heard one son, some show, that this guy who couldn't see for the first 50 years of his life, he was born blind. They got him recent medical advances are allowing a lot of, and they I think he was the first receiver of eyeball transplants, and he could not see. And they figured out that it was because the brain develops over time from the time you're born as far as what it believes it's seeing. And that's all part of our physical perception of things. And so they found out that, you can't just give somebody eyeballs at age 50 and they can see, because that's something that developed over time. So our physical perception of what's going on is different because it's all based on our past. And that's why everybody's arguing. Because everybody has a different experience in the physical world, and it's clashing. So when people move to the heart center or the soul, there's agreement. Because that's the part of us that comes from source energy or God or whatever, or spirit, whatever you want to call it, creator, and that's all in harmony.
Well, you know, that is a great question to ask. What am I not seeing? How could I see this differently?
How could I see this differently?
I've been reading a book recently called Take Off Your Glasses and See. I've read it before, like in the second chapter. I went, wait a second, I've read this information, but I'm now seeing it differently. I'm reading it differently because I'm a different person now. And it is all about exactly what you said, and about that you really don't need your eyes to see. I mean, you do, but, you know, you're really seeing from every cell in your body. You're not just seeing from your eyes. You're seeing from everything that you know and everything that you feel, from all your senses and your perception and your awareness. So interesting. I'm only in like chapter 4, but so maybe I'll have more to say about it later, but I totally get what you're saying, and it's so interesting. You know, the seeing part. What do we see?
And
that's,
you know, why people
see, they call people who, yes, and they see, they call people
who seers.
Do like readings and stuff, they call them seers.
Right. I know, I noticed that years ago. So what happened to me when I had my big awakening, my intuition was all over the place all my life. And I had some big ones, like I knew about the Kansas City bombing, and it was interesting how it happened. I hadn't had the TV on, and somebody put the television on during the evening, and there was this bombing. I said, well, that happened this morning. And it was like, no, it didn't happen until the afternoon. So, the soul knows everything. The higher self knows everything. And so the lower self is intermittently tapping in and hearing. And it's also hearing things on the outside. So, you know, in conversations and the people around you. So how do you know which signal is the one that's accurate? So what I learned through the years is to tune into my higher self, so that I know what the accurate signal is, the one that's going to lead me correctly, or the one that's going to have the right answer. And Esther Hicks says, choose a better feeling thought. And sometimes it can be that. If you're asking questions, or you're trying to use your intuition, or consulting somebody, or you can do automatic writing. But sometimes you can just choose different thoughts. Because remember, from the soul, it's always beautiful, and it's always good, it's always wonderful. It's only the lower self, the mental, the programming that comes in and starts to mess things up. So sometimes what I do is I'll search my thoughts to try to find one that fits better with my feeling center. Because I've cleaned out my past, so my feeling center is clear. It's a direct receptor for my soul. So now, okay, now the mental's going to get in the way. So now let's find a thought that aligns. And then, like I said, everything needs to be harmonized. So if the soul is saying, oh, you have a great, you know, it, things might look really bad, but your soul is saying, you have a great life coming. Just open up for it. Just let it in. And if the mental keeps getting in there going, yeah, but I want to know how and why, and but it better be like this, and then you're going to be all tied in knots. And if you let your mental say, yeah, let's be excited, then everything feels harmonized and you feel all flowy and soft. And that kind of answers one of your other questions is when you're ascended, you're aligned with your soul, but all your bodies are in harmony and you feel very soft and relaxed and you feel flowy and you feel very connected to everything that's good. So that's how you feel when you're ascended. So it's definitely a very fun goal.
Yes.
And Earth supports it right now.
How do you, you said you cleaned out your center and you learned how to tune in. So how does one do that?
So clearing out your center, I've had people, I say, take a breath. Your breath is your soul. That's your connection to the etheric is your breath. It sounds oversimplified and it is, but it is. That is your soul. When the breath is no longer in your body, you're dead. Breath comes into the body, you're alive. That your breath is your soul as it manifests on this planet. So follow your breath into your body, and wherever it stops, that's where you have a problem. A lot of people's breath stops. I've heard a lot of people say it hurts. When I try to breathe, it just feels really uncomfortable. Then you have to look at what. Now I'm gonna have to kind of backpedal a little bit. You said, how do you know you have? Oh, gee, let me see.
I said,
so
you
have.
You said you clean out your.
How do you
your
do that?
Center and then you turn
yeah,
in.
Yeah, if you have pain.
In. Yeah.
If you have pain, when you think of the past or the present, like people usually feel the pain. You feel the pain and discomfort in your body. And if you've ever seen the study of the chakras, you know, they have the heart chakra, the throat chakra.
Mm-hmm.
This is an accurate study, and you can use this. So if you're feeling pain in your chest or pain in your stomach, like you're always nervous, butterflies, or that hurts, you know, oh, when I think of that relationship, it just hurts. And when people say it hurts, they really mean it. It hurts. Like you can feel it in your chest or your stomach. So, for instance, if you're feeling it in your chest, that's a pain that you're carrying around in your heart from the past that hasn't been healed yet. Or if you're feeling it in your solar plexus, your stomach, a lot of times that might be like a power struggle. So let's go back to the one in the feeling center of the heart. A lot of people are afraid to love, open up to love, which is what ascension is becoming the embodiment of love. So a lot of people are afraid of it because of the hurts of the past or their misconceptions of it, or just that they've integrated society's misconceptions of what love is. And higher love actually is different than lower love, like the love that we usually experience and refer to on the human level is usually more like desire or fulfilling our needs. And whereas higher love is different. And I have a book called Ascension Through the 12 Aspects of Christ Consciousness. And I have to inform everybody that Christ consciousness, love, and all that's interchangeable. It all just means unconditional love, higher love. And the attributes of love are in there. And they're also in A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles is not for everybody, though. So I decided to write a simplified version of what higher love is. And when I was writing my book, Heaven is Here, which is about the ascended state of the planet and humanity, my chapter about love as it was dictated to me from spirit was that love, they showed me in my screen, my intuitive screen, they showed me a dodecahedron, which is a 12-sided polyhedron. And I said, oh, so love must have 12 aspects. And then Spirit gave me the 12 aspects, and they're in that book, and they're also in A Course in Miracles. But I also found out by Googling things, I often get things from my intuitive center that I have to go, oh, wow, what's that? You know, that in sacred geometry, the dodecahedron represents higher consciousness. So there you go. I mean, I got it from Spirit, and then that backs it, is that there's a lot of aspects to it, and it's things like patience, gentleness, joy, honesty, things like that. So a lot of esoteric teachings have some of them, but not all of them. But you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not desire. It's about higher love is different.
Yeah, yes, I do. Yeah. I'm just trying to simplify it. I want to, because people, like you said, you've written your books and you've condensed them down because nobody wants to read a 6-inch thick book right now. You know, things are
right.
going so fast. You need to know, like,
yeah.
So I'm just like, if somebody's listening, how can they clean out their center and how can they tune in? How can they become ascended?
Anything that's not love, you want to heal it.
Replace it
with love. And so if we're hurt about something, a lot of times we have to forgive the person because they're human. And, you know, I mean, there's endless reasons or ways to look at how to heal something. And I've met people who have successfully healed some bad hurts from the past. I mean, to take an extreme example, there was a woman recently who's out on a book tour now. This is just happening in the last few months. Don't know the name of her book, but her ex-husband, who was abusive, in retaliation for her divorcing him, he murdered their children. And so she said, "You're not going to get what you were trying to get from me by doing that. You were trying to punish me for leaving you for abusing me. I'm not going to give that to you." So she decided she was going to embark on a total path of joy because that's what he was trying to do, was take her joy from her. So there's different ways of looking at how you heal the relationships and experiences of the past. And a lot of people have abuse in the past, whether from trusted people, whether it be parents or spouses or other people in general. And we need to love again, and we need to love in a clean, very unconditional way as we move into the future, because that's the energy of the planet. In order for us to resonate with the energy of the planet, that's the state we need to move into. So it's some real super forgiveness and some real super putting the past in the past. And anything that we're carrying around that's hurting us. And when we think of it, you can feel the physical pain, and that's where you can locate, like, what kind of an issue is this? So actually, when I do readings, we're not getting calls. And if you're listening and you want to call in, I'll give you a solar energy reading. They're all free, so call in. And Peggy Sue will also key in and give you some guidance too. So what I do when I do readings, and you can get sessions. Peggy Sue, do you do sessions with people?
I do, and I'm more into teaching my classes. You know, I really love teaching the classes,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'll do, you know, some coaching, of course. That's another aspect of my work. But it's so all boiling down to intuition. So it seems like people are getting like an injection of what they need right now with the classes. But, you know, that's been one of my mainstays. I've been an energy healer for about 25 years. And then I started coaching a few years ago because I've been traveling and it's just easy to do over Zoom. It's easier to do for me because I don't have my bed anymore until I get settled. So, yeah, I do, of course.
Yes, yeah, so we have our contact information if anybody wants a session with any of us. And I do mine, the contact information is in the show description. The emails for both of us are there, and our websites. Do you have a website at this time, Peggy Sue, that you'd like people? I didn't put it on the show description. Why don't you say that right now as I'm giving contact information?
Peggy Sue Honeyman Scott, just like it sounds, no hyphenation. That's it. HoneyManScott.
Oh.
Normally there's a hyphen between
your
Honeyman
name
Scott,
spelled
but not
out.
On my website.
Yeah, your name spelled out, and is it .com?
It's .com, yeah.
Yeah, .com. And mine is AlanaK.com. So, yeah, and then we have our email addresses there. If anybody wants I do mine. I can do email. I can do phone. If you're on Maui, I can do in person. We do sessions, but when I do mine, what happens is Spirit gives me where your blockages are, and it actually will give me details as to how your individual personality can help convert something or flip it. turn it into something good. And, you know, I figure if that woman who lost her children can go on and live life with joy, you know, I mean, I struggle with not that at all, but I mean, just guilt over not being with my grandchildren because they're in the mainland and stuff. And that's nothing compared to what some people have to live through. So, but it's a time to live with joy, because that's how you manifest all the things that you need for your life. And that's, there's such a heightened energy on the planet that if you can move into higher love, it's just so blissful. And I know that everything that's going on right now can look pretty bad, especially if people are living in the big cities. I mean, but that's the thing about ascending and connecting with your soul, is your soul will guide you. And even something that's really bad can seem kind of beautiful. You know, it's a spiritual opportunity sometimes too. So, yeah, you can contact any of us, or I should say any of us, like there's this whole crowd here, either one of us, if you want a session. well, maybe there is a crowd. I have a feeling there's some people listening, but they're not calling in. That's fine. This is new to be talking about ascension a little bit. On the Soul Sherpa, I get a lot of calls, and nothing to be afraid of. It's all about health through some of your sticky wickets. And we'll continue to do this show on the Violet Phoenix every Wednesday at the same time. And I, if you want to email us, if there's certain subjects you'd like to cover, we'd be glad to try different things. And but we'll continue doing readings and having discussion. So anybody want to call in, go ahead and call in, and we'll answer your questions. And Peggy Sue, did you have anything else that you wanted to add before we wrap everything up?
I was thinking, I did have another question about ascension, because I've heard this is a word that's being knocked around quite a bit right now. And what does it have to do with the fifth dimension? I'm hearing that a lot. What do you, can you talk more about that?
Good. Absolutely good question. I call it the fifth dimension. A lot of people do, and I would say, for lack of a better word, we're calling the old way of living 3D, that's doing mental and just going through life saying I'm doing this job, then I retire, then I die. That's the 3D way, where everything is based on logic. And 5D is supposed to be heaven on earth. And most people use it to refer to heaven on earth, but some people use 5D or ascension to refer to just doing things that are out of the ordinary, such as communicating with extraterrestrials or pondering some of these odd things, or by noticing what's wrong with the planet. And I noticed a lot of times people use it for those two things. And being awake doesn't mean that you're noticing what's wrong. Being awake means you're noticing what's right about the planet. So hopefully when you say you're in 5D, that means that you're in a dimension that's beyond just what I can conclude with my physical senses. That's what that's supposed to mean. But and then they say, well, fourth dimension, what happened to the fourth dimension? And isn't there the 11th dimension? And what I like to say to people is, well, this is just what we're calling it, so that you know what we're talking about. We're talking about heaven on earth. And although there may be other dimensions and there may be other beings, what I try to get people to understand is we're talking about focusing our energy and doing the task at hand. And the task at hand right now is to raise the vibration of ourselves individually and to raise the vibration of humanity, because the planet has already ascended. But humanity needs to ascend. So each person, when they ascend, they bring others with them, and they help create that energy pathway for others. So 5D is kind of a loose term, but what most of us use it to mean that, but it does not, I will say, it does not mean complaining about everything and noticing everything that's wrong with the planet and humanity, and it's not anything to do with extraterrestrials. It's about living in a higher dimension, living in a higher, more evolved way. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. Yes. You know, I think one of the other things we can do for each other while this is happening is asking people if we can help them. You know, I had this, I can't remember exactly what I was doing, but I was in a fluster. And this really kind gentleman came up to me and said, "How can I help you?" And I was so shocked. I thought, wow, this, and he really meant it. He really meant, not like, you know, how can I help you get out of here or get through, you know, get rid of you. It was more like, I'm here to help you, and what can I do?
That's very nice.
And I just think that's just, you know, maybe, and you don't even know what it is, and it doesn't mean that you have to know, but sometimes people might just say, I need you to hold my hand, or I need a hug, or I need you to help me get in my car, or I just need somebody to listen to me for a minute.
Some people call that holding space.
I just think, the holding space just doesn't cut it for me. No. It's sort of, sometimes you need the words. You know, you need the words to be there.
Yeah, somebody, for us to be more understanding of each other rather than reactive, and demonstrate that to each other, I think. That's a very good thing. I would really like to ask everybody to do that. I'll put that on Facebook when we're done. Yeah, right. That's a really neat thing.
It can be very simple. It doesn't have to be, you know, complicated. I think sometimes we think that we overcomplicate things. I know I do. I'm getting better at it. But gosh, I wish I would have known some of this stuff a long time ago. It saved me some time and energy.
Yeah, that's what I always say when it comes to intuition. You get to the point where it's either yes or no, turn right, turn left, do this, don't do this. As soon as you get into overanalyzing, that's the mental again. That's the mental coming in. And then your mind says, well, I could do this, or I could do that, or I could do this, or I could do that. And all of a sudden the intuitive guidance is completely obliterated and that ship has already sailed. Yeah, so I've been working on that too. Just
that ship has sailed. Don't we know it?
Yeah. So you got to stay on the pulse of your soul. And what I, you know, as we're talking about the physical and getting it to harmonize with your spiritual body, one cool thing about living in Hawaii is we make jokes about it. They call it Hawaii time. And then they say even slower than Hawaii time is Maui time. And I notice that I always see a turtle in the water when I go to my favorite beach when I'm moving at the right pace. If you watch how the trees grow and how nature functions, it's very patient. And nature isn't really, it's not out there going, oh, when am I going to grow a new leaf? You know, it's just patient, you know. And it's so slow. And if you've ever had a garden, you're like surprised at the end of the week. It's like, oh, my God, this has grown 5 inches. But what? It just grew a little. Well, that's how, you know, I call it moving at the pace of creation. Modern society, we go too fast. We're not only wasting time and energy, but that's how we burn ourselves out. And then we're not listening to our soul. And if you listen to your soul, it guides you correctly. You don't have to constantly be retracing your steps and forgetting things and dropping things and smashing into things. But you got to really slow down. And then you're effective. You're efficient and effective in everything you do if you follow your intuition. So definitely important to slow down the physical, the mental, really neutralize the mental, forgive your whole past, give yourself a lot of love. You know, the universe wants to love you, but you'll really feel the love from the universe when you love yourself, love your body, take really good care of your body, don't give it poison, don't make yourself crazy with it, though, you know, getting into disciplines that you can't. You know, then you got another thing to beat up on yourself for. Just really go slow, go easy, keep taking better care of your body, keep slowing down the mental, keep feeding it positive thoughts, feed your heart positive thoughts, have, you know, everything positive, uplifting love, and check out our books, please, and check out Ascension through the 12 Aspects of Christ Consciousness. You'd be surprised how easy it is to just adopt these ways of being, because it's all beautiful, relaxing, wonderful, uplifting stuff. So I think that's probably a wrap.
You know, I love the go at the creation. I was sitting here thinking about that, and you know, sometimes when people say, you know, and I'm guilty of it, hurry up, come on, I'm usually way faster than everybody else. My rebuttal is now going to be, if somebody's asking me to hurry up, is I'm going at the pace of creation.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That needs to be a bumper sticker, I think. What?
Yes.
You're talking about
yes.
He slid onto the path of creation.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and so that's Maui is the highest vibration on the planet, and that stands to reason why we move so slow here.
Cause how do you know that it's the slowest? Would you say energy?
Oh, that it's the highest vibration on the planet. Okay, so before I came here, Spirit told me that this is an energy vortex, and I guess there's a few of them on the planet. But if you put a few things together, I'm gonna just mention them. You can almost draw this conclusion. First of all, NASA does this thing that they call there's Schumann resonances, and then there's NASA did a study of magnetic fields on the entire planet,
mm-hmm.
and Maui Island has the strongest magnetic field on the planet, according to NASA. And according to Schumann resonances, that's a whole other study. Schumann resonances says that Maui vibrates at the frequency of creation. And then people who live here say it's either heaven or hell. People say this is heaven. This is paradise. And I know there's a lot of beautiful places on the planet, but I would say that because of the energy here, this is the highest vibrating, because I know that the magnetic field has everything to do with all the other things. So when you live here, yes, they say it's either heaven or hell, or you get bipolar, you step off the plane, you turn bipolar, because it's the same as the ascension of the planet, is that it's amplifying everything. The ascension, the higher the energy, the harder it is to be out of sync with that. So it makes it hard on the host. So that's why people are feeling so much discomfort. If they're feeling anger and frustration, it's like getting so much worse, because this higher energy, everything has to move. Metaphysical law of the universe is that everything has to rise, and it also has to rise to the highest vibration in the energy system. So now that Earth has risen, everything else has to rise. That energy is going to keep pushing it to rise. So what it does is it amplifies both the good and the bad, and that's why we have this experience that people are going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the rising
and
is
Maui,
becoming
does,
love.
Right. I've heard a lot of people say that they tried to live here and they get kicked off the island because they just can't take whatever they're supposed to face. It's abrupt.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderfully abrupt. But you know,
it is.
God knows I've had my
so fast.
Oh yeah. So you do solar readings, you said. Are we too close for you to give me one?
A soul reading? Well, yeah, a lot of times
I
consider you a friend. Yeah. But what
yeah.
I do is I can tune in, I listen to some, there's a tone in each person's voice that brings me to their soul level, and I can tell people what their gifts are. That was the first thing that was shown to me when I had my big awakening in the 90s was what I'm supposed to do with my life, was that my intuition was mainly supposed to be used with regard to other people, was supposed to be used to help them with their higher purpose. So, let me see. How do we have time? Yeah, we do. Okay. So, like, if I tune into your higher self, and this is what I do for people, I'm going to tune into your higher self. Well, you probably already know by now that one of your gifts is communication. That's the first thing that comes across. I'm also seeing a balanced male and female is something that you came in with, that's part of your gift that you bring to the table, a good balance of yin and yang. And so I'm getting that you were born with that, that you've already developed that in past lives. So in order for you to get closer to your soul, you'd want to watch any, like you already mentioned, you already said it. You already said, sometimes I get like, you know, moving too fast. That's a yang attribute, to be moving too fast. So just fall back on your soul, fall back on your breath, get back into the moment. You've already worked that through in past lifetimes, and you bring that with you. So you have a very good yin-yang balance, male-female balance. So that's something to be aware of. And communication, and let me see, what else am I seeing in there? I'm actually seeing music for you, latent, meaning that's something that helps you resonate with your soul. So it's a matter of finding, but it's about you being involved in the music. That's the other thing I'll get from people is that I'll pick up from their soul, from their higher self, is like, what, there's certain things that each of us resonate with that help us plug in better. Like when we sometimes just to enhance our experience, but sometimes when we're lost, you know, like you had a rough day. That I'm getting really being involved in the music, whether it be singing or dancing, that's something that's really important for you. And those are the things that I picked up first off. Wonderful. That brings you back into the fold, and also I'm getting breath. And this is for everybody, but in particular, I'm just being told to mention your breath. Breath and the singing and the music brings you back into the fold. You know, the thing is, the stuff of life, you know, the taxes, the car registration, the doctor visits, all of this stuff is, yeah. You know, we're trying to live in an ascended state in a planet that is very dense and has a lot of rules and laws, and you got to cope with all of that. And yeah, and you try to bring that higher self with you and bring love with you. It makes it better. But if you can't, you get all frazzled by the end of the day. You know, knowing how to return to your good space inside is a really important thing. Without alcohol, alcohol and drugs.
Back to the breath, right? That's what I'm. Mm-hmm. Breath is like this. I'm learning. This is big time for me this year.
It is.
It's all about breath. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. getting back to myself and slowing down. And so you're saying we live in a dense world, right? And this reality is very dense. So do you see the planet, like how long is it going to take for everybody to get with the program here?
Very good. I got this morning, and I've gotten this to a certain extent, but things become clearer at certain intervals. And this is what I got very clearly. It gives me a lot of peace. Once again, it's a great feeling thought. Just know that it is inevitable that humanity will rise and they will become love and they will evolve. Know that 100%. But get very comfortable knowing also that you can't predict when. People keep wanting to know when. Oh, there's going to be this event. There's going to be a flash out of the sky. There's going to be, Jesus is going to come back. Or they want to know. And even me not believing any of that stuff and being patient, I needed a reminder that there is really no way to know. But I will tell you this. We are all connected. We are all connected. And you can't, each person who comes into a high vibration feeds that, like it's like a recipe. It's like you're bringing more love into the soup, more love. Each person should just keep cranking up the love, and it hits a certain critical mass. And I've heard that we've already, from Spirit tells me and other people have said this, we've already hit the critical mass that was a tipping point where it's inevitable now that everybody will evolve into love. But we haven't hit the critical mass yet where people really do a full shift to heart-centered consciousness.
When was that?
But each,
when did the tipping mm-hmm. happen?
When did the I felt it happen, and Spirit confirmed it in about 2016.
Ah. You know, I was thinking about if we knew when it was going to be,
everybody would wait to the last minute to get on the train.
Right. Right.
Letting somebody
else
do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. We really, thank you so much, Peggy. So I'm serious. This has been fabulous. With your help, you really just laid out all of this, and this is the stuff that people need to know. You're right. When people are waiting for another event, and if we knew the moment, right? And I think the Bible even says that. You don't know the time. And the Bible uses parable, and it uses 2,000-year-old language, so you have to kind of think, well, what does that really mean, and how does that relate to current times? And the moment can't be known, because it's whenever enough people move into heart-centered consciousness, because we're all connected, it'll cause a wave. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps. It'll cause a wave to just flush through humanity, and they won't even know it hit them. And everybody's going to be in heart-centered consciousness. So the only person you can bring into heart-centered consciousness is you, us, me. You know, yeah, you can only do yourself. And you have to hope that other people, which they are, they'll find it. And then when it hits a certain level, it'll be so strong that nobody can live any other way.
No, nobody can stop it. It's
right.
Sort of like a tsunami
mm-hmm.
of love.
Yep, that's what's going to happen. And it's not Jesus coming dancing on the clouds. It's not. And I know, I mean, I've been listening to my higher self all my life, and I trust it. And this is how it is. But it's coming. We're here. And, yeah, and at any given time, you can just open up to love. Hey, I got to mention one last thing. Marianne Williamson, mm-hmm. We got a couple minutes left. When I had my awakening, I was actually crying for a few days, and because I was hearing so much wisdom from spirit in that state of crying, because that's, once again, you're being completely open. I was flushing out all this past stuff, and had to do with, there was some deaths, and I just went into this, and I said, oh, this feels so good, and I just let it rip. I cried for 3 days, but I found Marianne Williamson's book, A Return to Love. Now, I know Marianne Williamson, like, you know, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. She seems a little wacky sometimes these days, but that's a good book. That's a good book. And it's about, and it just made me aware that the planet was returning to love. And that's what her book is about.
Yeah, it is a great book.
It doesn't appear that way. It didn't. It is. Mm-hmm. That's a good book to read. And the other one about understanding how you live in the moment and living at the speed of creation is The Power of Now. And I really feel mm-hmm. a lot of times like my books don't make as much sense or aren't as useful unless you understand The Power of Now. Because that explains all about why you stay connected to your soul and why you stay in the moment. Because each moment is creating the next one. So, yeah. I think it's fabulous. We touched on a lot of things. If anybody's listening to this, please click on follow, because you'll get notified when we set up a show. And invite your friends to listen, and we'll continue to do shows, and we'll add them to the archives. You can always listen to the shows as many times as you would like. And please check out our books and our websites. And it was so nice talking with you today. And thank you, Peggy Sue. And I'll see you next time.
You're
on.
You're so welcome. Bye.
Okay, aloha.